Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Prisoners and Miranda Rights Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On October 4, 2011, the Supreme Court heard the oral argument in Howells v. Fields. The question in this case is whether a prisoner, whenever he is isolated from the prison population for the purpose of being questioned, is considered in custody and thus required to be given Miranda warnings. To discuss the case, we have Mark Brnovich, who is the director of the Arizona Department of Gaming. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Brnovich.
Earlier this week, the United States Supreme Court heard oral arguments in this case. Specifically, this case presented another question for the court concerning the scope of Miranda warnings and the circumstances in which they would be required to be provided to prisoners. I should note here that technically there are really two issues involved in this case. The first involved whether the right against self-incrimination required that a prisoner be Mirandized before being interviewed in isolation about conduct that occurred outside the prison. And the second involves the AEDPA and whether the court in Mathis clearly established a per se rule regarding the questioning of people in custody. However, most of the argument and the facts of this case really do focus on that first issue, and that's what I want to focus on. Additionally, because these types of cases require a review of the objective circumstances surrounding the inquiry and whether there was a Miranda violation, I think it's important to really lay out the facts, and that's where our focus should be here at the beginning. The origins of this case go back to December 2001 when the respondent, Randall Lee Fields, was serving a jail sentence in Michigan for a disorderly conduct conviction. Sometime between 7 and 9 p.m. on December 23, 2001, a corrections officer took the respondent, Mr. Fields, from his cell and escorted him to a conference room where police officers proceeded to ask him questions regarding allegations that he had had a sexual relationship with a minor. According to the record, the police officers informed the respondent, Mr. Fields, that he was free to leave the conference room at any time and he did not have to cooperate with them. While the respondent initially denied any sexual relationship with a minor, he eventually admitted to engaging in sexual conduct. The respondent did ask to be returned back to his cell after several hours of questioning, and the questioning did last until approximately 1 or 2 a.m. The respondent was ultimately charged with criminal sexual conduct, and he moved to suppress the statements that he made while he was in custody. He argued that the police officers questioning him should have provided Miranda warnings. As you may know, the United States Supreme Court established in Miranda v. Arizona that a suspect in custody or otherwise deprived of his freedom of action in any significant way must receive warnings of his constitutional rights before being questioned. Subsequent Supreme Court cases have set forth that the ultimate inquiry for Miranda purposes is whether there has been a formal arrest or a restraint on freedom of movement of the degree associated with a formal arrest that a reasonable person would not feel free to terminate the interrogation or questioning. In other words, we look at the objective facts to determine whether a reasonable person would feel that they were not free to leave. Because the court must look at objective factors in determining whether a suspect is in custody for Miranda purposes, there continues to be litigation in this area. In this instant case, the Michigan trial court determined that there was no Miranda violations and thus the respondent's confession was admissible. The court specifically noted that the respondent had been told he was free to leave. A Michigan jury found that the respondent guilty on two counts, and he was sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison. The Michigan Court of Appeals affirmed the conviction and the sentence. The Michigan Appellate Court rejected the respondent's argument that because he had been incarcerated on other charges unrelated to the interrogation, that somehow his Miranda rights had been violated. Once again, the appellate court also noted that the respondent had been told he had been free to leave and he could return to his cell at any time. The Michigan Court of Appeals, therefore, held that Miranda warnings were not required in this context. After the Michigan Supreme Court denied the respondent's application for leave to appeal, he filed a petition for a writ of habeas corpus in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Michigan. the respondent argued that his rights had indeed been violated because he had been subject to a custodial interrogation without Miranda warnings, and therefore his statements were inadmissible. The district court held that the respondent should have been provided Miranda warnings because he had indeed been subject to an in-custody interrogation. The district court had relied on the 1968 U.S. Supreme Court case, Mathis v. U.S., where the court had held that a prisoner was, quote, in custody, end quote, for Miranda purposes, and thus entitled to warnings of his right to remain silent and his right to counsel. The court also held that Mathis required Miranda warnings regardless of the reason for a suspect being in custody. Accordingly, the district court conditionally granted the respondent's petition for habeas corpus. The case then went up to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, where they affirmed the district court decision and noted that Mathis required Miranda warnings whenever an incarcerated individual is isolated from the general prison population and is interrogated about conduct that occurred outside of the prison. The Court of Appeals also relied on the U.S. recent Supreme Court decision in Maryland v. Schatzer. In Schatzer, the court had held 9-0 that the police may resume questioning of an inmate after he had been released into the general prison population for 14 days, even though he had previously requested a lawyer. In essence, the court had held that a prison by itself is not custody for Miranda purposes. However, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, relying on both Mathis and Schatzer, they determined that a bright-line test was required and Miranda warnings must be provided whenever an inmate is isolated from the general prison population and interrogated about conduct occurring outside of the prison. The briefs that were submitted in this case by the U.S. Department of Justice and the state of Michigan rejected the notion that any bright-line test was or should have been created by either the Mathis or the Schatzer cases. These briefs emphasize that whenever a court considers whether an in-prison interrogation is custodial or not, it is important to distinguish between restrictions on the inmate that result from ordinary incident of prisoner's life and additional restraints imposed in connection with the interrogation. In other words, every inmate is in custody, and therefore courts should determine whether additional pressure beyond what is inherent in everyday prison life has been applied to the suspect. That is, the circumstances and reviewing the requirement for Miranda warnings in the context of what a reasonable prisoner would feel is what the test should be, not a per se bright line that requires Miranda warnings whenever an inmate is questioned about conduct outside of the prison. The oral argument in this case began with Michigan Solicitor General beginning to explain that the Supreme Court has declined to adopt any new per se rules regarding Miranda warnings. But after just a few sentences, he was interrupted by Justice Sotomayor to ask questions. She asked several pointed questions and really seemed to focus on whether the respondent being in custody was a sufficient circumstances in and of itself to require Miranda warnings. That is, obviously, an inmate in prison is really never free to leave. The Michigan Solicitor General emphasized that the circumstances surrounding the questioning of the respondent is what is ultimately important. He noted that the prisoner had been in an unlocked conference room. He was not restrained. There was no shackles. He was not harmed in any way. He was told that he could leave at any time. And indeed, when he asked to leave, he was ultimately returned to his cell. I should note here that several questions and several of the briefs discussed the issue that it had taken approximately 20 minutes after requesting to leave for the inmate to be returned to his cell. However, the Michigan solicitor noted that they had followed consistent prison policy in returning him to his cell, and therefore that delay should not have been a factor. In response to further questions, the Michigan Solicitor General continued to emphasize that being in prison or jail in and of itself was not enough to require Miranda warnings. He also pointed out if the court were to adopt the Sixth Circuit per se rule, that if an inmate was questioned regarding conduct that occurred outside of the prison, Miranda would always be necessary, but it wouldn't be necessary for questions regarding conduct that occurred in prison. That could ultimately lead to the absurd result where a very serious prison crime, such as an inmate murder or a stabbing of a corrections officer, would not require Miranda warnings before questioning a suspect, but a petty theft outside of the prison facility would require an inmate to be Mirandized. The Michigan solicitor also added that, in responses to Justice Kennedy, that officers doing the questioning were not prison officials or corrections officers, and therefore they did not have the ability to impact the respondent's day-to-day life. I frankly thought this line of questioning was interesting, because an inmate may find a corrections officer who could impact his privileges, his work schedule, more coercive than someone that could not affect his daily life, for example, the detectives who are investigating a case that occurred outside the facility. However, along the same lines, I will also note that it is interesting that no one seemed to really address the issue of whether leaving or requiring an inmate to leave his cell may create coercion in and of itself because of the impact it may have on an inmate amongst his fellow prisoners. That is, does it make it more or less coercive when someone is worried about what his fellow inmates may think, that is, that he may be a snitch? Arguing the case on behalf of the federal government was Ginger DeAnders. She urged the court to reject the per se rule that had been adopted by the Sixth Circuit. In response to questions from Justice Breyer, she emphasized that looking at the circumstances to determine whether a prisoner is required to be Mirandized is what is actually required by previous case law. That is, in the instant case, it would require looking at the circumstances as to what a reasonable inmate in that situation would feel. And every case is facts dependent and dependent on what that individual inmate may feel and whether he was actually coerced or not, depending on the environment. That is, based on the experience of the prisoner and the circumstances surrounding his questioning. Justice Scalia did not ask any questions until the respondent's attorney, Elizabeth Jacobs, began her portion of the argument. But most of the questions asked for her were done by Justices Alito, Roberts, and Kennedy, although the other justices did ask questions as well. During her argument, Mrs. Jacobs emphasized that Mathis had already created a per se rule that everybody in prison is in custody at all times. That is, she said that Mathis required that any time a police officer coming from outside a facility to inside a prison wants to talk to an inmate about a crime that occurred outside the facility, that inmate must be given his Miranda warnings. In summary, the respondent urged the court to either continue or adopt the bright line rule, depending on one's perspective, that inmates cannot be questioned by outside officials regarding conduct that occurred outside the facility absent Miranda warnings, while Michigan, the federal government, and various other states urged the court not to adopt the bright line rule and to continue to look at the facts and circumstances surrounding each time a police officer interrogates or questions a suspect. It is often difficult to determine what the Supreme Court will do in any given case. I learned a long time ago as a prosecutor never to try to predict what judges or juries may do. But it did appear in this case that several justices were skeptical of why an inmate who was pulled from his cell shouldn't be considered in custody while being questioned by other law enforcement officials. On the other hand, we know that Justice Scalia has never been a fan of the prophylactic nature of Miranda and has attempted to whittle it away whenever possible. In sum, if a per se rule is adopted, it may create issues regarding the ability of law enforcement officials to prosecute cases effectively because of the resulting loss of evidence. On the other hand, if a bright line per se rule is adopted, it would be easier for prison officials to follow and easier to enforce possible violations of the Miranda warnings.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.